exacerbation of pain. Please, you have the floor.
Buongiorno a tutti.
Good morning, everybody. As Angelina told you, my task today is to introduce some issues concerning adults in pain, and I'd like to clearly define some elements that will be described by our colleagues when illustrating clinical cases. There are many different definitions of pain, and we have chosen two of them, the most significant ones, but also the most frequently adopted in the literature. The first one is the definition given by the WHO. The second one is the definition given by the International Association for the Study of Pain. The WHO defines pain as an unpleasant, complex, multidimensional experience resulting from the interaction of cognitive, motivational, emotional, and sensory components in which psychological individual features play a major role in exacerbating and supporting and sometimes generating pain. This is a long and complex definition. IASP provides a shorter definition of pain. Pain is an unpleasant emotional and sensory experience which is associated to an actual tissue damage or to a sensation perceived as such. Both definitions define pain as an experience, a subjective experience, because pain is of course due to the stimulation of receptors, but pain is also linked to a number of cultural, social and emotional factors. For these reasons, reactions to pain may be of two kinds. First of all, physiological reactions, and then behavioral or cognitive reactions. Physiological reactions are seen when some vital signs are impaired: blood pressure, heart rate, respiratory rate, oxygen saturation, and intracranial pressure. The latter reactions, that is, behavioral cognitive reactions, are linked to direct observation of the patient. So facial expressions are very important, and this is often mentioned in the literature because the patient, of course, reacts to pain or the
di quello che possa lui esprimere non parlando.
Or the patient's gaze, for instance, when the patient is intubated, then posture. Patients in pain often adopt a so-called antalgic posture, that is, a posture relieving pain. It's a sort of a protective posture, also protecting the area where pain is located. Then crying. Crying is a major sign which is observed in children very often. Then loss of appetite. Patients in pain, generally speaking, are intolerant. They suffer a lot. They do not want to be fed. And then sleep-wakefulness cycle disorders. But before going on, it is important to state something. In the past few years, and this has been mentioned by Elio Drigo, pain has been underestimated, both by doctors and nurses. And this is due to the fact that there are many misconceptions, preconceived ideas on pain. And we all have this problem as healthcare operators, and patients too have some misconceptions about pain, and I'm going to mention some of them. We tend to believe that adults tolerate pain better, but this is not true because grown-up people are more able to control pain reactions versus children. Another misconception is that it is impossible for patients to feel pain when care procedures are carried out in the absence of analgesia. But we know that some procedures we carry out are painful. That's why before performing them, we administer some drugs or we put the patient in the appropriate posture. There are other procedures that we routinely perform, such as making the bed, and we do not realize that very often patients feel pain while we perform these procedures. In cardiosurgery, resuscitation wards, very often patients have very painful wounds. They often have pleural drainage, and this is very painful, and we tend to neglect this aspect. Another very widespread preconceived idea is that in the elderly or the elderly patients should not be given opioids. We are afraid of giving opioids to the elderly because we are afraid of drug interactions. We know that the elderly take a lot of drugs. That's why we're really afraid of triggering pharmacological interaction, and we tend not to administer opioids, and this means that the elderly are very often in pain. After this very short introduction, we'll be talking about postoperative pain. Postoperative pain involves a distinction between acute and chronic pain. Acute pain is trauma pain, for instance. Chronic pain is the oncological pain or the headache pain. Postoperative pain involves some major factors, and it is important to emphasize them. And during the clinical case presentation, these factors will be more clearly discussed. First of all, the type of incision or wound, so the size of the surgical wound, then the site of the surgical wound, then the duration of surgery. The longer, the more tissues undergo trauma. Then the psychophysical situation of the patient, the psychological preparation before surgery, pre-op medication, and then the quality of post-op care. Which are the components of post-operative pain? First of all, the skin component, which is of course connected to the trauma of the surgical incision. Then the deep somatic component, which is due to the injury at the level of aponeurosis, of muscles, of the pleura and peritoneum. Then the visceral component, which are the consequences of the post-op pain. There are major changes which are due to the voluntary or involuntary blockade of the respiratory muscles. And then when the patient feels pain because of a sternal wound, the patient is tachypneic, he or she has a shallow breathing, and this often leads to a problem of oxygen saturation. Then there may be problems due to an increase in the heart activity, so a higher heart rate, a higher blood pressure. Then there may be gastrointestinal problems due to the reflex inhibition of the gastrointestinal muscles and of the bladder. Then there are complications due to immobilization, so there's an increased risk of thromboflebitis. Now, in short, I'd like to mention some scales to assess pain. And I'm going to mention four of them, but there are many more. We've chosen four. And these are the scales we use in our cardio resuscitation wards. First of all, this simple verbal scale, the numerical scale, the analog visual scale, and then the McGill pain questionnaire. There are different criteria according to which units choose the most suitable assessment scales. First of all, the scale must be easy to use by the patient and by the healthcare operator professional. It must be clearly understandable to all patients irrespective of their cultural level. And then the scale must not be time consuming. It must be quick in administration, because it is important to have a rapid instrument allowing us to take action and to administer painkillers. That's why we use the VAS scale. At the St. Ursula Malpighi Hospital, between 2000 and 2001, some studies were carried out to assess pain scales, and according to these studies, the VAS scale is the easiest one to use, it's one of the most reliable, and it's also easily understandable by the patient. I'll rapidly illustrate the other scales. The simple verbal scale is based on five categories: no pain, moderate pain, intense pain, before that, sorry, slight pain, and then very intense pain. The score goes from 0 to 4, and the patient has to choose the definition better describing his or her pain. The numerical rating scale is very simple. There's a score from 0 to 10, and the patient has to choose. The McGill pain scale is one of the most complex scale. It is very long and very complex, and it is very difficult to use it in our situation. The McGill questionnaire is based on more than 100 items to describe pain. They are divided into a number of subclasses, and there's a human body map. So the patient is going to use the map and to also use a simple verbal scale. And it's a very complex system considering our daily practice. So we decided to use the VAS scale. So my colleagues will always refer to this scale. Here you can see how this scale works. It is a horizontal line starting from no pain on the left-hand side to the maximum possible pain on the right-hand side. And the patient has to choose where to place his or her pain. On the other side, there's a scale from 0 to 10, which is used by the healthcare professional. So this way we manage to quantify the patient's pain by resorting to a number. So the patient is not influenced in his or her assessment of pain. I hope I have been clear enough, and now we can move on to the analysis of the clinical case.